CBSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host, and we're to Canada to our very good colleague, Charles Burton, Senior Fellow, Center for Advancing Canada's Interests Abroad at the Macdonald Laurier Institute. These last days, Canada's much in the news. So is the Prime Minister over the balloon. One confirmed balloon brought down off the coast of South Carolina associated with Chinese surveillance. Objects 2, 3, and 4 not yet clarified, but in any event, we have this from Reuters. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said that the four aerial objects shot down in recent days, including one over Yukon Territory, are connected in some way without elaborating. Charles, a very good day to you. Trudeau got involved with this story early on, especially because NORAD is a joint operation protecting North America. My keenness is not to penetrate the unknowns, but to ask how he's handled this to the Canadian public. Is there anxiety? Is there concern? Is there fresh revelation? Or are we looking at a China that's already such a bad actor? Everybody's going, I'm not surprised. Good day to you, Charles.
Good day. Well, I do think that, you know, there is concern in Canada in the sense that Canada is unable to defend its own territory and has to rely on the United States to send the airplanes up to destroy these unidentified flying objects. Mr. Trudeau had to correct himself when he claimed on CNN, in fact, that he had ordered the shooting down of the one which landed in it landed on the Canadian side of Lake Huron, although it was shot from the American side. That, in fact, was not Mr. Trudeau. That was really the United States president who was making that sort of decision. So there is a lot of question about decades of Canadian underfunding in that can Canada defend its sovereignty from a country like China that, you know, is able to exert influence over Canada's political, judicial processes and territorial independence and sovereignty through all kinds of measures. And so, you know, it is debasing his credibility inside Canada as being a viable leader who has policies that genuinely defend the Canadian interest. In the meantime, the Chinese are just flooding with disinformation about 10 balloons crossing into China that the United States must make an explanation accounting for and preferably an apology. Very upset about the U.S. sanctioning of entities in China that are involved in this kind of aerospace development, and suggesting that they blew up a balloon over the port of Rizhao in Shandong on the eastern coast, which caused a lot of excitement in Chinese social media. And then these Chinese social media people were so disappointed when China could provide no evidence that they'd in fact done it. So the whole thing seems to be just spinning out of control in all directions. And everything is suggesting that, you know, we really have to get much more serious about meeting the challenge of China's nefarious schemes to undermine our sovereignty and security and global institutions.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, shooting a balloon out of the sky is not that difficult an exercise. All it takes is a plane and either, you know, some 50 caliber bullets or a Sidewinder missile. I know you're not a military expert, but it seems strange that Canada couldn't shoot something down over its western provinces, in this case, I guess, the Yukon. Is Canada really that weak that it can't do that?
I think one of the issues is getting the Canadian military aircraft up to the very high altitude that these balloons are operating at. And so I think from that point of view, we have dependency on the United States. And, you know, there's pressure on Canada to acquire this advanced military equipment that would meet this, you know, evidently new challenge.
I want to stay with the Canada side before we go to China. Justin Trudeau's many years in office have been associated with better and more prosperous relations with China. Is that changing, Charles?
I don't think it is. Certainly, the government is suggesting to the United States that it's changing. We've had, you know, Minister Freeland, the Deputy Prime Minister, saying that Canada should be friend-shoring, and another Minister of International Trade, Jean-Philippe Champagne, who said that we should be decoupling But they say that when they're in Washington, when they come back to Canada, they talk about the importance of sustaining engagement with the People's Republic of China in economics and people-to-people matters and climate change. And so I think that, you know, there's still a struggle within Canada between vested interests that want to maintain close connections with the Chinese communist regime for their own financial benefit, and people in Canada who are concerned about Canadian sovereignty and security and don't want to see our alliance with the United States collapse as a result of Canada not being able to come around to the norms of our like-minded allies in terms of addressing seriously China's increasing infringement on our democracy and society.
These voices who are in support of maintaining relations with China, do they have an explanation for the surveillance balloon? Do they have an explanation for the concern that the U.S. has voiced these last days? Or is that just left off the television?
I think it's mostly rejected as being, you know, not a significant matter and therefore being blown out of proportion and being used by elements in the United States to bring us closer to military confrontation with China. So, you know, they're readily able to be dismissive of all sorts of things, you know, including concerns about China and the South China Sea. They might buy the Chinese arguments that they can make the South China Sea into a Chinese lake, or dismissing reports about genocide in China's Uyghur regions and so on. These people are following the Chinese line, because if they don't follow the Chinese line, then they might suffer loss of contracts and lucrative arrangements with Chinese regime associated business.
Gordon, you have a question.
Is Canada going to increase its defense budget?
There's no indication that that's happening. You know, Japan doubles it in a blink, and Canada prevaricates over this issue.
Let's go to the China side. You mentioned you watched China media claiming the shoot down of a balloon, other accusations against the United States. My favorite was, let me get it right, habitual criminal surveillance empire, which isn't as good as running dog capitalism of 1966, but it's okay. Charles, is this wolf warrior, or is there an element of panic because they're making things up day by day? The first response was civilian aircraft blown off course, and I think they said something about meteorological research. Is this something that we can see panic at the foreign ministry, or did they have a script to read from?
I think it's a sign of panic. I mean, they've made other absurd claims, such as, well, maybe the balloon was sent up by a foreign fishing boat, which was in the area that was concerned about U.S. Military exercises. You know, it just went from one thing to another. But what they did say, and I think it's quite revealing, is that they are concerned about the U.S.'s technological superiority in surveillance operations. You know, the U.S. has very sophisticated equipment running in the international waters around China. And China, you know, they give the impression it's sort of unfair that the U.S. has the technology and ability to do monitoring that China so far does not. So, you know, I think they are very defensive, and it worries me when they start to say things that are completely and utterly untrue. You know, it's sort of like the COVID originated in Fort Detrick kind of line. You know, it used to be that they would have ideological kinds of propaganda, you know, that the West is a heartless society because when people get old, we take away their property and send them to prison camps described as retirement homes. I mean, that was a valid sort of interpretation. But now they're just making stuff up. And that does indicate, as you say, a sense of panic and a sense of real deterioration in the legitimacy of their regime.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, how can the Chinese people accept something like this? Do they know that their regime is lying, or do they just accept it because they don't have alternate sources of information?
I think they know that their regime is lying. I mean, certainly they knew their regime was lying over COVID-related matters. I think with regard to the balloons, you know, people just see this as how the communist regime functions. I don't think that people in China seriously believe that the United States has been sending balloons back and forth. And the fact that, you know, when there was this indication that China had blown up a balloon over the port of Virzhou, a lot of people were expecting to see some follow up and evidence. And once that report was made, China just went completely silent on it. So people don't believe the propaganda. You know, and they seek alternative sources of information. But that being said, I think, you know, a lot of people in China support their government because it's the only government they have. And so it does become the focus for nationalism. You know, the tragic thing is that if the Chinese government was genuinely Chinese and followed the provisions of Confucianism, they would be sincere, honest, and genuine in seeking harmony with other nations. This government is not really very Chinese.
And back to Ottawa, are there voices of dissent in the parliament challenging the premier about the way he's resolved this issue, which is to say it hasn't been resolved yet?
Oh, yes. I think even within his own party, there are increasing concerns about Mr. Trudeau's integrity and competence as a leader. And I think his days in office are numbered. He's currently supported by a minor party, the socialist NDP. And I think they're probably going to cut him loose, and we'll see a general election. And the polls indicate that the Conservatives will win by quite a large margin. So, you know, we could have quite a different government in Canada before not too long.
Charles Burton at the Macdonald Laurier Institute, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section, when Dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them, just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful, pain-reducing prescription medicines. But most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country. And tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets. Anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.